Good day. My name is Michelle. Welcome to Nova's Business Report. And on the Market Watch with me today, I have Eloise du Plessis, no stranger to the audience, I'm sure. She's back from Canada and she's joined the PSG team again. And I'm going to talk stock markets, which I don't normally talk about with my guests. And Eloise, maybe very quickly, as I've heard of this book, and apparently the book has already been issued about 12 years ago. It's called One Summer America 1927, and it talks about the boom in the American markets before the Great Depression started 2 years later. So let's delve into, and I'm not going to ask you to go into the history, but it is quite interesting to see the similarity. So very briefly, on the stock markets, what can you see and tell us about the booming stock markets in the USA? Because I mean, the people have been saying, yeah, the tariffs and things are going to go bad. It's a lot of pressure to decrease interest rates, but the stock markets are doing so great.
Yes, the stock markets have been doing phenomenally well, Michelle, the S&P particularly. So just to give you an idea, if you put 100 anything, right? 100 Namibian dollars, 100 US dollars in the stock market in September 2010, right? So this is now 15 years ago. And you just left it. You did nothing else to it. In rand terms, you would now have more, you would now have 1,478, right? So that's like 14 times in 15 years. That your money has multiplied. So stock market running extremely hard, especially in the last 15 years internationally. Now locally, we've seen something similar, right? So for the last 5 years, the JSE has actually kept track with the S&P 500. So if you were invested on the JSE, which is the Johannesburg Stock Exchange in South Africa, you would have seen this major growth as well. And something that people now ask in this kind of environment, and actually everything ties back to this book, you know, this 1927 book of where are valuations at? Everything looks like it's going so well. What do we expect from here? And I think we really do need to contrast the US markets with the South African markets, right? Because you can, if you look at the two graphs for the last 5 years, you can kind of draw the same conclusion, right? You can say, oh, look, both of them have run so much. I guess I need to be wary of both of these. But they have very different characteristics at this point. So in terms of the US stock market, we're looking at a few things that's happening there. And why I think that there might be, again, a divergence between the South African stock market and the US stock market. And by that, I mean, you could see the US stock market perform worse than the South African stock market in the foreseeable future. The one reason is this valuation risk, right? Mm-hmm. So there are only 10 stocks in America that make up 36% of the index. Sure. Now, remember, there's like 3,000 stocks on the Russell 3000 in the US, and only 10 of them are now making up 36% of this index. So that means that if you're not in exactly the right stocks, and these specific stocks, their prices have run so much, then we are now starting to see that the free cash flow growth is lagging behind these valuation expectations. So that's the one thing. The other thing is this policy concern in the US, right? Mm. So they've got this huge budget deficit, so they need to borrow more money. And there are these signs of political interference in the Federal Reserve, right? Mm. So rates are already at a historic low if we look at the longer historical sense, but there's more and more pressure to bring these rates down again. And that has a very real inflation risk. So yeah, if you guys remember the absolutely terrible inflation the whole world went through 2022, and all the central banks raised rates, and now, you know, some of it is kind of under control. But if those rates come down too low, we can see that inflation just spike up again.
So what I'm hearing, what you're saying is, you know, with rates cut even further, you will see the risk of inflation. There's obviously still the outcome of the tariffs that one needs to see. But then obviously the lower interest rates are, the more money you will see will flow into the stock market. So those 10 stocks, I guess that includes the Magnificent Seven, right?
Those are those ones, the big names, right? The Nvidia's and Meta and Amazon and all these stocks that have run so much, also on the AI, everyone's expectations on what AI is going to deliver for the economy.
Too late to climb in?
In the US, I think it's too late. Now, that is a very broad statement that I'm making in that sense. And as we know, diversification is absolutely crucial. And that's kind of the message that you see when you compare the JSE and the S&P 500 as well, right? So what investors need to remember is sometimes one of the markets will run and the other one will kind of lag behind. But in order to manage your risk, to manage this volatility, make sure that you don't have your eggs in one basket. Right?
Okay. So that is why you want to get back to the JSE now. So tell me quickly, I had a question the other day where somebody asked me, why is the JSE doing so well if South Africa Inc. is not doing great or actually doing very poorly?
Yes. So there are a few answers to this question. And it kind of relates as well to people asking, why is the rand, you know, why does the rand strengthen now when, you know, things are not going well in South Africa? Or why is it devalued when things are actually looking better? The stock market in South Africa and per implication, the rand is sometimes very decoupled from the South African economy, because those large stocks on the JSE are not dependent on South African income, right? Mm. So you've got stocks like Gold Fields, Anglo American, all these gold stocks have run with the gold price. Mm-hmm. So we've seen what the gold price has done. And when gold runs, no one cares about the potholes in Johannesburg, right? Anglo American makes money because the gold they take out of the ground, they can sell at a higher price. Same with Gold Fields, all of these things. You have a situation where the biggest, best companies in South Africa are not that dependent on the South African economy. So that's the one piece. The other one is we sometimes judge South Africa on developed world standards.
Yeah.
And when you are going to compare South Africa to Canada, the US, Australia, New Zealand, it might look worse. But in its peer group, in its developing emerging market peer group, there are a lot worse political things happening in the world with those countries that it's getting compared against. Especially something like the South African banking system, right? Mm. I mean, it is absolutely world class. Mm. So if you're going to compare that banking system to one in Brazil or Venezuela, you're going to say, hold on, at these valuations, I will much rather have a South African bank than I will have a Venezuelan bank.
Yeah, and so what I'm hearing, what you're saying, the story of the day is definitely diversification. So not so much the US, but you're saying for clients that might be heavy on the US to definitely look at it, say, for all the right reasons that you have now highlighted.
That's exactly it. And other markets as well, because other regions, Europe, and now specifically other emerging markets currently offer better valuations and better growth prospects. Yeah. And so there's more than just the US. There are more investment opportunities out there that I do think people need to look at when they're considering their asset allocation.
Thank you very much, Eloise. That's unfortunately all that we have time for today, but I'm going to pick your brain on the equity markets for many more times to come. Thank you very much.
Sounds great. Thank you, Michelle. And the listeners must have a fantastic day.